We just finished, over 30 years, 32 to be exact, in Germany. We came back in the summer, and so we're still kind of getting used to the idea that we're here now, that we're not just here for a short time, we're here for a long time, we're here for a good time. I never really thought of that before, but it just came to me. So, just entering a new phase of our lives. We're on home assignment this year. We're officially retiring next summer, but we are not checking out. So really just seeking to continue to pursue the things that God's put on our heart. As we did up our last prayer card, we were talking with each other, what do we put on it? Because in years past, we always put serving with the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Germany, and we can't put that on anymore. So we said, okay, what is the tagline? What is the thing that God's given us in our hearts that we want to do for the rest of our lives? And that is fueling passion for the King and His kingdom. Whenever you go out to have a drink or to eat with someone in a restaurant in Germany, they always bring the drinks first in the hopes that you will drink it and then order more before, when you get thirsty. And it's protocol is we have to teach our North American visitors, don't take a sip. Don't take a sip yet. Wait till everyone at the table has their drink, and then everyone will cheer everyone else. You say Wohl zum Wohl or Prost or whatever, and clink your glass with every person at the table. Look them in the eye. That's very important. And in our community, we started using the toast for the King and His kingdom. And that just kind of reminds us always when we're together, this is what we're about. This is what we want to continue to pursue.
And the prayer card that we have shown on the slide, we do have some at the back, kind of just as you come in, there's a table there with other leaflets and so on, but feel free to take one, and you can put it on your fridge or your dartboard. I know our friend Doug has one today. Has one in his basement, a dartboard. Didn't see it on there. It's on their counter in the kitchen. But on the back of the prayer card are a couple of things we want to draw your attention to. Number one would just be thank you so much as a church. I would hope and understand that you give to the Global Advance Fund, and that I like to say it keeps the schnitzel on our table and the sprit and the sprit in our tank. Gas tank, so we can drive fast on the Autobahn. But we don't drive too fast. We don't waste all your money. But we thank you for giving, and you've kept us in Germany as you've done that. And we're on this home assignment. We still need the support of this fund. But we're also praying that people would give, that we might send out more people, that more places in the world that don't have access to Jesus, that those places be reached. And there are a number of young adults and older alike that are kind of in the starting blocks waiting to go out, but we don't have the finances. So please keep giving and sacrificing. We thank you for that. We keep your ministry going here, but through the Global Advance Fund, GAF, you keep that cutting edge going. And so thank you as you consider giving to that. And then a couple of prayer requests. I don't have any M&Ms here today with me, but there are two M prayer requests, multiplication and mobilization. And we're still praying for our ministry in Heidelberg, where we've spent the last 5 years, that more and more young men and women, we especially have focused on students and international students in that city, would come to know Christ, and they would become disciples who make disciples. They would multiply their lives. And we've seen people from all over the world come to Christ, and they take their lives and their message back to those countries. And so we're praying for multiplication. And also because we've gone more of a house church style, where we call ourselves a missional community, we're bursting at the seams, and living rooms in Germany aren't as big as they are here. And so 35, 40 people just don't fit in one living room anymore. And they're kind of nervous about, we don't want to give up this tight community, but to multiply into at least two groups in the near future. So pray for that multiplication. And also mobilization. We want to see people fueled with the power of Christ, the love of Christ, and making a difference and living Spirit-filled lives. And that's what we want to continue to do as we shift our focus here to Canada. And so thank you for giving, for praying, and supporting us. And please take a card. We do have a Facebook page that's quite up to date, and you can write, there's an email address on here you could write to Ruth, and she'll put you on that if you want to follow us in that way.
So we've had this mental image of fire. We've been thinking a lot about fire. We even actually, true confessions, have sometimes had that TV fireplace on in our apartment. I said to Ralph, really? This is happening here? You know, the guy's arm comes in and puts a new... And if you're laughing, you've watched it. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so we've been thinking a lot about fire. It's mentioned a lot in the scripture. Sometimes it's representing punishment or judgment, but it often also represents the presence of God. When you think through a few things, we're just going to mention a few today. God sealed his covenant with Abraham with supernatural fire. Moses heard God's voice out of a bush in the desert that was on fire without being consumed. The people of Israel were led through the desert by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. Fire came down on the sacrifice to show Gideon that God was with him. Elijah called down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifices, and that was a clear message to the pagan priests that Elijah's God was the true God who's alive and active. I love the fact that in the tabernacle and later in the temple, the fire on the altar was never allowed to go out, and the priests were very careful to tend this fire. The disciples on the road to Emmaus expressed it this way. When they realized who Jesus was, they recognized him, they said, "We should have known. Weren't our hearts burning within us as he walked with us on the way?" And I love that picture, that the presence of Jesus and his revelation of his word causes our hearts to burn. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit revealed himself in his presence by appearing as flames of fire over each person's head. Even when we read John's description of Jesus in Revelation, Ralph will talk about this a bit more. His eyes are like flames of fire. And that's the way he expressed the passion that he saw in Jesus' heart. When we spend time close to the fiery heart of Jesus, we catch fire from him. And we catch his love for the nations, his love for all people, his desire for all people to be saved. We'd like to introduce you... to our community in Heidelberg, which we call New Song, and that comes from the scripture in Revelation where people from every nation, tribe, and tongue gather before the throne and they're singing a new song. It's a group of, I have 30 to 35 people written in here. This is we wrote when we left, and so I think now they're more like 40 people. Most of them are young adults, both students and young professionals. And they're from many different nations. There are people whose hearts burn for Jesus and the nations. We just received a WhatsApp from a girl who just joined the group, and she was telling some of her friends, "I found my church. I just moved to Heidelberg. I found my church. These people have hearts that burn for Jesus." And, of course, we were so thrilled to hear that was her description. They're led by a really amazing leadership team, it's always like, is it this way or this way? Anyway, Lewis is a German. He's an engineer. Carissa Gilbertson is also a CMA IW, as we call ourselves now, a missionary sent out by the Christian Missionary Alliance. And then Eric and Yana Supin from Nigeria and Germany. They are continuing to serve with YWAM. He teaches at their DTS, and they're very involved in various ministries, and they're part of our leadership team. We're very thankful for this team because we could leave and know that the group there is in good hands. And although we're no longer there, as we're speaking in churches, we're asking you to continue to pray for these people. And this is the vision that this group has: to influence, equip, and release. That's what Harold was mentioning this morning. Disciple-making disciples of Jesus Christ, who are fueled by apostolic vision, prophetic insight, and the love of Christ, who multiply missional communities in Heidelberg and beyond. So we call ourselves a missional community because it's easy to be a community, but it's not always easy to be missional, to live your life with the nations in view and the people around you who need to know Jesus. So we find that when you're in community, it's a lot easier. They are, they're from all different nations. And we realize that, the city of Heidelberg is full of people from different nations. They're students or postdoctoral, or they might be business people. And we realize that some of these people are from countries where maybe they haven't had access to the gospel or to discipleship. And so we're just very aware that we have a window of time when they're with us in Heidelberg, and we can bless them and disciple them, in some cases baptize them, teach them about who they are in Christ, teach them about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and just be able to send them out with fresh fire into the countries that they come from. So we want to show you, we hope, working a short video to just let them share a little bit about what we're about. So those are some of the great people we get to work with. And I just want to introduce you to a few more. Drew, this picture you see now, Drew was called specifically to Heidelberg after being there for two visits on a prayer team. So just be careful where you go on a prayer team. he comes from a house church in South Carolina. And it's an interesting story how we connected. But God specifically led this house church to start praying for Heidelberg. And they didn't know anybody there, and they connected with us. And so anyway, Drew came this past spring, just came on faith, came at his own cost, found a job. He's living with one of our guys, with Lewis, actually. And he has just been jumping in and serving any way he can, and especially with his gifts of bringing people together and prophetic prayer. He's just amazing. And then we have Gowen, who comes from South Korea. She came, also felt specifically called to Germany to study medicine there. So imagine, she could have studied in South Korea, but she had to learn German first and then study medicine. She's just finished. She's just in her last practical year. And she just is amazing. She has such a burning heart for the lost and for prayer. And it's always good to have Koreans praying for you. I figure that's one of their national gifts, the Christians there. Mm-hmm. And she's now married and has a baby, and she's just finishing up as a doctor. And then Melly and Simeon are also leaders in the community. Melly, who's holding the baby there, their little guy, she just is an amazing, she has a gift of evangelism. She'll talk to anyone, anytime, anywhere, and invite them to our community. And so their house has become a real center for just blessing people. And she and her husband, Simeon, who's also a doctor, just starting out and doing shift work and all of that, but they commit several hours a week to prayer for the community. They are reaching out. They're just, wonderful people. And then I wanted to let you hear from a young couple, Caro and Simon. And Caro was one of our first people at all. She was one of our first leaders and really was transformed by, she knew Jesus, but she was transformed by coming to understand who she is in Jesus and her true identity. And now God's leading them on another adventure.
As Ruth said, we just have had the joy of working with these young adults. Karin, who finished the other video. She's similar age to us, but the rest of them are all could be our kids. So we've been learning to fuel this fire, this passion from Jesus and for him and for the world with these people. And it's just been a delight to walk with them. And they sometimes say, well, you're our spiritual parents and we love being with you. And thank you so much for just coming and investing in our lives. But we often say, actually, we want to be with you. It's hard to keep up with you, but thank you for just walking and running ahead and just seeking God with all of your hearts. And so there's a mutual encouragement that happens. But the one who lights this fire, the one who really stirs this fire for God is Jesus. He's the ultimate passionate one, the ultimate fiery one. And as Ruth mentioned in Revelation 1, the vision that John had of Jesus, he said his eyes are like blazing fire. And in John 2, verse 17, we read about the passion, the zeal, the fire that Jesus had for the temple, that it wouldn't be a place of business, but a place of prayer for the nations. And so it's this passion, this fire that consumed Jesus. It says that he was consumed by this, that the purpose of the house of prayer, that the purpose of the temple would be a house of prayer for all the nations. And so we want to be fueled by this same passion that Jesus had. And once you've encountered him, even as Jesus was encountered at his baptism by, and he heard this voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He was overwhelmed by the sense of his Father's love for him. And that, I would like to say it this way, that fueled his ministry. He started his ministry knowing he'd been encountered by the very love of his Father for himself. And for that reason, we want to continue to nurture this love and be sure of that. And as these boxes, these various things that were taken away, he wants to take those things away and fuel our lives with his love for himself and be captured by this love of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, I have several translations that kind of speak of this. One, actually, this first verse, or first translation is my English translation from the German. There's a wonderful translation in German called the New Geneva Bible, or translation, and this is kind of a way of saying it in English, how they capture that. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 12, verse 11, become ever stronger in you. So it shouldn't just be on this one kind of steady flame, but it should be getting hotter and hotter. Or let the fire burn that ignited in you. Or the Message translation, don't burn out, but keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Two other translations say it this way, keep your passion toward him, toward God, boiling hot. Or another English translation says, be fiery in the Spirit. This is all variations of how Paul says we need to keep this flame fueled and hot and not let it go out. Now, as Canadians, we're so polite. Like, Germans want to be correct, and Canadians want to be polite. Germans want to be right, and Canadians want to be polite. Well, Paul is not trying to be Canadian polite. He's not saying, well, if you have time, and you know, if it's not too inconvenient, you know, try and keep this thing going. It's not just polite suggestions. These are commands. And to say it this way, they are invitational commands. He's inviting us into something in a very strong way because he knows this is what we need. We're meant to carry fire. We're meant to be fiery. This is our default. It shouldn't just be an extra thing. And so they are invitational commands. He so longs for us not to be passive, but to be passionate. The key to all of this is encountering Jesus. It's not something we work up. It's something that he ignites in us. It's having him ignite fire in us. In other words, being baptized, being immersed, being overwhelmed by the love of God through the Holy Spirit. And in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, there's some very important 3:16 verses in the New Testament. John 3:16, of course, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. Ephesians 3:16, I can't remember what that one is, but it's good. But 3:16 verses, here's one from Luke. And John the Baptist, upon baptizing or encountering Jesus, he says, I've been baptizing with water for repentance. But there's one coming who's more powerful than I. I'm not even worthy to reach down and untie his sandals. He says, there's one coming who will baptize, and this is another translation possibility, who will baptize with the Spirit of holiness and with raging fire. Ooh, I get kind of warm by that thought. He wants to undo us. He wants to overwhelm us with his holiness and with his fire, with passion. Ruth and I, we lived in Vancouver a couple of years after we got married. And Ruth is on staff at 10th Avenue Church. And I was attending Regent College. And there were these two older ladies in the church in 10th Avenue that we somehow got to know. Louise Conant and her daughter Muriel. I don't know how it worked out, but they asked us, they wanted us to get to know them, and so we were invited to just have dinner with them one time. And long story made short, we ended up grandma sitting the mother, And she was in her early 90s. And there's three things we learned about Louisa Conant. Number one is, so this is back in the early 80s. She's 90-something years old. So she was born before the turn of the other century. And she got to hear A.B. Simpson as a little girl in these missionary camp meetings, thousands of people gathered in a forest, Old Orchard Beach, Maine. It was almost like, can I touch you? Can I shake your hand? Would you give me your autograph? You heard A.B. Simpson. This is amazing. So that was one amazing thing about her. Second one was, we noticed when we had dinner with them, they didn't just pour out the water. You know, they cooked up some peas or carrots or whatever. They, like we would, you know, pour out the water into the sink. No, they kept it in a jar and they drank the water that they'd cooked the vegetables in. I thought, maybe that's why they're living so long, you know. Try this out. But the third thing was, it's kind of cute, and we've nurtured this phrase all through our lives growing, or in our time in Germany, some 30 years, was, you know, when we say, would you like to top off your coffee or warm it up? They said, can I hotty that up for you? Can I hotty that up for you? So it's kind of cute. So we've kind of taken that in our family. Can I hotty that up for you? I don't want to be sacrilegious or anything, but when John the Baptist said he's going to come and baptize you with holiness and with righteousness, say he wants to come and baptize with the spirit of holiness and the spirit of haughtiness. Like passion for himself, undone, overwhelmed by his love, so passionate for himself and for his kingdom. He wants to do that. And Isaiah had this encounter with the holiness of God. Isaiah chapter 6, he had a vision of God's holiness. In the year Uzziah died, he was undone. He saw the Lord in his temple. The train of his robe filled the temple. It was huge, this splendor, this vision of God's holiness and his passion. And Isaiah could do nothing else but repent and say, I'm undone, I'm an unclean, my lips are unclean, and I'm an unclean person. And then the angel came and took fire from the altar, a coal of fire, and came and touched his lips. He was undone by the haughtiness, by the holiness, by the passion, by the burning passion of God, and it changed his life. And then the Lord says, so now you've been encountered by me, I want to send somebody out. Who's willing to go? And he says, here am I, send me. So he's undone by the holiness of God. He repents. He gives himself to God. He surrenders everything to him. And I know I'm not a big student of revival movements, but the things that I've heard and encountered myself when I was 15 years old is the holiness of God and a desire to be repentant and make things right with God. And that's been the seedbed of revival for centuries. For every time you see that, it has to do with repentance. Being so undone by the holiness of God that you repent, you turn from things, and then you're overwhelmed by his love, his haughtiness, his passion, his fire for us. And as we've been journeying with these students and young adults in Heidelberg and over the years in Mannheim, we've been learning, how do we tend to this fire? How do we keep this fire going? And I'm going to just fire off seven things. You don't have to take notes, but take one or two that might grab your heart. I'm just going to run by them very quickly as we come to a conclusion this morning. Number one, deal quickly with sin in your life. Don't let these things that pile up in our lives, don't let them have any root in your life. Deal quickly with them. Don't excuse them. Don't run over them or think they're not so important. But he's willing to forgive. He's willing and able to heal us and to set us free from these things, and that we would walk in righteousness with him. Deal quickly with sin. Number two, guard your heart and mind. Guard what comes in. Guard what you feed your heart and mind with. Number three, seek to create a worship atmosphere in your home, in your car, in your head. A worship atmosphere. It's fine to listen to classical music or jazz, whatever stream of music you like, rock, whatever. Some things are just really amazing gifts from the Lord, this passionate sound that we sometimes hear. But we try and keep an atmosphere of worship through music in our home. When we're driving, we listen to other kinds of music as well. But in our head, just have tunes and songs, of spiritual songs in our hearts and minds. And this keeps this fire going. Number four, foster a life of prayer, especially with others. It's really sometimes hard as an individual to be disciplined and just seek God in prayer. But do it as a community. Do it with one other person. Make a phone call and pray together. Number five, read the word. Ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Just a longing to hear from Jesus, to read hungry and expectant. Keep the fire going by keeping in his word and letting him speak to you. Number six, tell God stories to each other. Just at the breakfast table this morning with our friends Doug and Heather, hearing Heather tell her story, just it raises faith, it encourages, it fans the flame of what God is doing in our lives. So tell God stories. Just encourage each other that way. And number seven, there may be many other things. Become a family. Become a couple, become a single person, become a church of burning hearts. Anybody here have the name Lisa? Second name Lisa? Well, some of you may watch CBC, others you watch CTV. Lisa LaFlamme. Lisa, the flame. if there was a Lisa here today, I would just say, hey, your nickname is actually Lisa LaFlamme. But we need to all have this thing about us, that we are on fire and we become have a nickname. Hey, man, you're a fiery person. And we want to become that as a church. And I believe, I've been hearing about things that are happening here in Nanaimo. There's this a sense of God's presence. And I really believe, historically and also as we seek God together, that the next move of God, whether it's tomorrow or next week, requires or needs everybody to be on fire. Just dealing with things and being quick to just seek God with all of your heart, because we're designed to carry fire. We're designed to be fiery. We were designed to be overwhelmed by Jesus. And Jesus is the fire starter. He's the one who starts it, and he's the one who can keep it going. And so let this flame of his passion for you and for the world burn within you, burn among you. It's like the words of one song, for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. It's not about our passion and our, you know, the end thing is not just about, yeah, I want to be a passionate person, but it's for the sake of the world, burn like a fire in me. Would you stand? I'd like to pray with us. And I'd like to do it this way. If you would pray with me, if you can trust me and you have the opportunity, because you're going to hear phrase by phrase ways that we can pray together. And if it would help you, put your hand on your chest, on your heart, and say, oh God, burn this in my heart. Speak to me. You just pray one phrase at a time, and if you pray that out loud, that would be wonderful. So let's begin. We worship you, Holy God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We welcome your holy presence. We give you our total allegiance. We submit to you, our loving King. Come and show us your glory. Overwhelm us with your holiness. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make us to be a holy people. Purge us and cleanse us. And come like a raging fire. Fuel our hearts. Immerse us in your love. Overwhelm us with the fire in your eyes. Set our hearts on fire. Give us burning hearts for you, for your people, for those around us, for the nations. May we become a church on fire. In the name of Jesus, our fiery Savior. Amen.
First of all, I want to thank Ralph and Ruth for being here this morning. What a treat for us to hear what God is doing in another part of the world and in such passionate detail. So I want to thank you on behalf of all of us for being here. That's a real treat for us, and thank you for blessing us with your presence. A couple of things I want to share with you before we're done this morning. For those of you who are here who maybe you're just checking out our church, maybe you're kind of new to Christianity, or maybe you're not even too sure there is a God or any of this is real, I just want to address you this morning. I'm so glad you're here, by the way. I really am glad you're here. And you might be a little confused by all of this, wondering why do Christians feel the need to share their faith at all? Why don't they just leave people alone? It's a legit question, and a lot of people are asking, why don't you just leave people alone? It comes down to this. When our hearts have been changed by Jesus, it changed us so much. It filled us with so much life. And God gives us a love for people. The most loving thing to do is to offer that same thing to them. We can't help it. It's like when you know of a good thing, you can't keep that to yourself. I mean, it's as simple as when you see a really good movie, you want to tell people about it. When you find a really good sale, you tell people about it. That's minor detail. Think about something that's life-changing, that fills you with joy. You can't keep that to yourself. It is the most natural thing for a follower of Jesus to say, hey, I found someone great. Let me tell you about him. So I just want to address that. There was something in your presentation I just want to touch on because it was so beautiful. It was kind of towards the beginning. It was in one of the videos. They mentioned the idea of belonging before believing. I love that. I think that is a great thing for us to remember at Nanaimo Alliance Church, that people are to belong before they believe. And what a welcoming thing for that church to have as kind of a philosophy of ministry, really. Beautiful. I love that. Didn't you love that? Oh, man, that touched my heart. Anyway, I want to spend some time praying for this church, for Ralph and Ruth, and then we are going to close. Lord, we are so grateful in this room for all of us who have already experienced you, for the incredible life that you have given us. We are the recipients of joy and peace and love and hope. It is amazing, and we as a faith community want to share that with Nanaimo and beyond. Lord, may we be people who just are so excited about you, we can't help but tell other people about you. Lord, we pray for this community, New Song in Heidelberg, Germany. Lord, that today, I know they've already met probably, or maybe, I don't know what the time change is, they probably met. But Lord, I pray a blessing over that group, that you would continue to fuel their fire for you, that they would believe with all their hearts that you are the hope of the world, Jesus, and that they would be unashamed and unafraid to bring the message of hope to all of that city and beyond. Lord, we pray for Ralph and Ruth this morning. We thank you for the fact that they are here. They want to fuel passion for the King and his kingdom. And I pray, God, that wherever you take them, that you would encourage your people to take a bold step forward in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that that passion, that fire that they've been talking about will follow them wherever they go, and they would just spread a flame everywhere, wherever they find themselves. Lord, I pray that they would just be so in the center of your will that lives would be changed one after another, that whole churches would change to be kingdom-focused. Lord, we thank you that you are here. I can sense the power of your Holy Spirit in this room, your presence. What an amazing gift that you give us, your presence. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We worship you. You are worthy of our all, our best, our everything. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer for anything this morning, there's going to be some people up here who would love to pray with you. Other than that, God bless you. Have a wonderful day.